You are listening to a message from Victory. We hope it inspires you to honor God and make disciples in your community.
Let me jump off to our text today, which is found in Matthew 20. But let me give you the background in Matthew 19. It says there, "And Jesus said to his disciples, 'Truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.' This was after Jesus had a conversation with a rich young man, and he said to his disciples, 'It's really hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not impossible, but it's hard because a lot of rich people think they don't need God. And so it's hard. It's like a camel going through the eye of the needle.' Now, when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, 'Who then can be saved? If the rich young guy who has it all, who looks like he's okay, it would be hard for him to get saved, who then can be saved?' Jesus looked at them and said, 'With man it's impossible, but with God all things are possible. There's no hopeless case in this room. Whether you're rich, you're poor, you're Chinese, you're American, you're Australian, whatever you are, whoever you are, it's not impossible for God to touch you and save you. With God all things are possible.' Then Peter said in reply, 'See, Lord, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?' Peter now was trying to showboat a little and say, 'Lord, look, we're your original disciples. We've sacrificed business. We've given up everything to follow you. What then will we get?' And Jesus said to them, 'I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on the 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for my name's sake,'" this is like Joe's story, you left everything, right? "'will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life.' And then Jesus said these words, 'But many who are first will be last and the last first.'" Now this was chapter 19, then we jump up to chapter 20. A lot of people, they misconstrued that chapter 19 after chapter 19, chapter 20 would be the next day. It's not. It's actually in the same story. There was not a jump on the time. It was just one big story. And then in verse 20, Jesus said, let me tell you this story. And this was the parable. Why did Jesus tell us this story? Because when Peter said, "Lord, we've left everything. What then will we have?" Jesus knew this was a red flag. This was a warning that Peter was not thinking right. Peter was being entitled. Peter was trying to say to the Lord, "Lord, look, you owe us something because we left everything." It's like me praying to God and say, "God, I left show business to be a pastor. I left the family business to be a pastor. Lord, the sacrifices, the financial sacrifice, what then will I have?" It was wrong thinking. And Jesus said, "Oh, Peter wants to showboat. Peter wants to take pride in his actions. I'll tell him this story." But before he told the story, he told Peter, "Actually, you left your brother, mother, sister, lands, and all these things. You'll be blessed. But let me tell you this story, that many will be first and the first will be last." What does that mean? So we jump up now to chapter 20. He says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard." Now, this master owned a vineyard, and there was a lot of work because it was harvest season. So the usual employees that he had, he now had to outsource the job, and so he would get hired laborers. If you are a hired laborer, you are under a contract normally, but this was a different master. So the work starts from 6 a.m. and it ends at 6 p.m. So this was typical during harvest time to hire laborers. So the first people who had a transaction with the master said, "Okay, we'll work for you as long as you agree that you'll pay us a denarius a day." To offer a denarius a day is such a generous offer for hired laborers. That was the salary of the Roman soldiers during that time. So you should be getting, if you're a hired laborer, 70 cent denarius or 50, half of a denarius. But the master, being generous, said, okay, you want an agreement? Let me sign that contract. You'll work for a denarius a day. So he gave him a denarius a day. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And then to them he said, you go into the vineyard too. And whatever is what? Right, I will give it to you. The second group of workers did not enter into a contract with the master. The worker said, we trust that you will do what is right because you said so, and so now we'll work for you. This was around 9 a.m. And then it happened again and again. There were three batches of people who were actually waiting for a job to be hired, to be outsourced, and they also went into the same kind of agreement with the master, that we trust that you'll give us what is right. So, verse 5, so they went, going out again about the 6th hour and the 9th hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, this was 5 p.m., just 1 hour of work. He went out and found others standing, and he said to them, why do you stand here idly all day? And the laborers said, they said to him, because no one has hired us. We're not lazy. It's just no one hired us. He said to them, you go into the vineyard too. Go work for me. And so they went in, not knowing there was no interview saying, what's the salary? And you know, a lot of millennials today, that's their first question. So how much will I earn? That's why a lot of them, they don't have work now because they don't pass the human resource department. Okay. And when evening came, what happened? The owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first. Remember, Jesus was telling the story. The disciples were the audience. Peter was there. He was driving home a point to Peter and the disciples. He said, so the story goes, at the end of the day, the master said, call the one that I hired on the 11th hour, down to the 6 a.m., right? And then this was, in a way, the last will be the first and the first will be last. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. 1 hour of work, they receive a denarius. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last work only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and of the scorching heat. Master, it's quite unfair. The guys work for an hour. We've been working since 6 a.m. Why are you giving them a denarius? And why are you giving us just a denarius? Now you have to understand, the standpoint here was that if you receive a denarius a day, even though you work from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., that was generous. That was maybe double the minimum wage at the time. The master was being generous to those who actually entered into an agreement with him when he didn't ask for it. Oh, you want an agreement, a denarius? Okay, let me sign. Okay, I'll give you a denarius. But to all the other workers, they said, we trust that you'll do what is right. But he replied to one of them. He said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? You wanted an agreement. You wanted a contract. I signed a denarius a day. That's maybe around 1,000 pesos a day. You agreed, right? I'm giving it to you. Because I did you no wrong. You're my friend. Don't block me. Okay? Don't unfriend me. I'm your friend. I did you no wrong. Why are you grumbling? What's up with that attitude? Aren't you blessed? You actually got better than you deserve. I'm such a good master. I paid you real good money like a Roman soldier. I'm good. I'm generous. And you were the one who demanded this from me. And I gave something that you actually don't deserve. So he said to the guys, take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? Are you questioning my goodness, my character, my generosity to those who work for an hour or 4 hours, 7 hours, and to the one who work for 12 hours? I'm just a generous man. It's my money, anyway, and you signed, and I gave you more than enough. You got something better than you deserve, and these people got something better than they deserve. There's two kinds of workers in this story. Very simple story that Jesus told the disciples to drive home a very important point. Number one are those who wanted a contract. They're called contractual workers. How they look at the relationship with God or the master is contractual. Lord, I'll do this if you agree that you'll do this for me. A lot of Christians today, they're like the contractual worker. They have a mindset of a contractual worker. These are the people who are extremely religious. To the dot, all the commands. Do not, from the commands of Exodus, do not eat pork, you know, to every command of Scripture, trying to follow everything. But the relationship with the Lord is very transactional. All of us in this room, we have transactional relationships. Every time we do business, it's a transactional relationship. You go to Starbucks, they know your name. Hi, Sir Dennis. But they will never give you free coffee. It's not really love, it's business. If I go and get their coffee without paying, what happens next? I'm no longer welcome in Starbucks because it's transactional. And it's okay. We have what we call business transactions. But when Christ tells the church, I want a relationship with you, he doesn't want a transactional relationship. And we've got people who have transactional relationships. Husband and wives who have transactional relationship. If you don't meet my expectation, there will be no love in this relationship. That's transaction. You give me this, I'll give you this. Bring me to Hong Kong, I'll be happy. Bring me to Lucky Chinatown Mall, I won't be happy. If you don't meet my expectation, you won't get anything from me. Not even care or concern. Why? It's transactional. People who get divorced, it's based on a transaction. You no longer serve me. I'm no longer happy with you. You don't want transactional relationship. Jesus was saying, Peter. Jesus is Italian. Peter, I don't want... No, Jesus is Asian. He's Pinoy. Peter, don't think you'll have special privileges here because you left everything to follow me. The first will be the last and the last will be first. That's my generosity. And yes, I answered you. You'll receive much more in this life, 100-fold, than those who didn't. But that's not even the point. My point is many will be first and the first will be last and the last will be first. Don't enter into a transaction with me. I'm not in a business. I'm here for a relationship with you, Peter. If you are here today, and you're still asking, if your issue in life, that's why you've never surrendered your life to Christ, is because, you know what, I really don't believe in tithing. That's Old Testament, you know, and the New Testament. If that's your issue with God, then you're in a transactional relationship. I'm sorry to say, I don't have time to even debate with you. Because you missed the whole point of the relationship. It's not about, you know, should I tithe or not? Because, Lord, you said, if I tithe, you know. People who are contractual, their mindset is, if I earn 123,000, I'm going to give 12,300 pesos only to the Lord. Can't go up to 12,000. I can't round it off. I'll give the exact because that's what the Bible commands, and I'm declaring that the floodgates of heaven will open and the blessings of God will flow now. That's transactional. You don't give to get, you give to give. Why? I'm not here for a transaction, I'm here for a relationship. I don't say I love you to my wife so I'll get kisses.
She just kisses me.
Why? It's not transactional. It's relational. So if everything you do is to perform so that God would notice me, that's called, according to the New Testament, living according to the law. You're living life according to, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do this so that God would bless me. That's contractual mindset. That's transactional. Jesus was rebuking Peter because of that mindset. The second kind of worker are those who agreed to take whatever the owner thought was right. Lord, I trust in you. Master, I trust in your nature and in your character. I'll do the work. I'm not asking for the salary. I know you'll give what's right. That is trusting in the goodness and the generosity of God. And that is what God wants for the church to get his heart. That we don't get into transactions with the Lord or with other people when it comes to doing good or when it comes to generosity. Don't be too calculated, especially in the area of generosity and giving and blessing. Because God says, I'm not like that. I'm a good master. I'm a generous master. Now, what's the common denominator between the two? Two kinds of mindset, but there's a common denominator. The common denominator is the contractual worker actually got better than he deserved. He got a wage, a salary that was higher than the norm, even with an agreement. And those who worked for an hour got better than they deserved. Because in God's nature and character, you can never outgive God. That's just who he is. That's why the Bible says, give and it will come back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Tagalog, siksik, liglig, umaapaw. Italian? Press down. Right? You can never outgive God. Why? It's his nature. That's who God is. There's no question about it. So you don't command God to bless you. He's a blesser. You don't command money to come. In his generosity and in his infinite wisdom, he's a good father. He knows when to give it to you. Some of you, I gave my tithes. I've been tithing for the past. How come the money's not there? Maybe because in his goodness and in his wisdom, he knows if he gives it now, it will destroy you. Because he's a good father. That is a relationship. When it's transactional, I give automatic, the next day, boom. But Jesus, I'm not like that. That's not how I do it. I'm a relational God. I know when to give. Because I don't want you to think like a contractual worker, Peter. I want you to understand you got better than you deserve. The mind of a contractual worker is, I deserve. Entitled Christians. Lord, I worship. Lord. Lord, I gave. Lord, I serve. Lord, I gave up this. Lord, I sacrificed. Now what, Lord? That's the mind of a contractual worker. But the mind of the other worker is, I got better than I deserve. Lord, you gave me more. That's grace. The law is, I deserve. I sacrifice, I worship you. I've been a Christian since the 80s. I've sang all the Don Moen songs. And the guy who just got saved today or yesterday and got baptized today will also go to heaven and experience the presence of God. The last will be first, and the first will be last. That is the heart of God. That's why the gospel is so powerful. That's why when people hear the gospel message for the first time, it touches them. Why? No other religion in the world will have a God like this, who is generous. It's always transactional. I know. I'm a born-again Catholic Buddhist. We grew up mixed, just to be sure. It's always transactional. I bow down, I light the candle, you bless me. I pay the temple monk, so that He'll bless me. It's all transactional. But if I say I love you to the monk, he won't bless me. And please don't do that to us. Pastor, here's money so you can bless me. We're not in a transaction. You go straight to God. Because that's how God moves. That's who God is. And for everyone in this room, whether you're a self-righteous Pharisee in your lifestyle and thinking, and you're entitled, and you're contractual in your mindset, whether you're someone who got to know and experienced the grace of God, there's one common denominator here. All of us, we got better than we deserve. That's the goodness of God. That's why when somebody would ask you, how are you? The answer should be better than I deserve. How's your marriage? How's your wife? I got better than I deserve. How's your school? How's your career? How's your business? Better than I deserve. Why? What do we deserve? To be brutally frank and honest, what do we deserve? We deserve hell. Look at your seatmate. Say, you deserve hell. Okay? But by the grace of God, by the innate goodness and generosity of the Master, He did something. The cross is the great equalizer. He looks at all of us, Catholics, evangelicals, and saying, Buddhists, and whatever religion, saying, you all need me. I don't care if you've been a Christian since the 80s. If you rebelled against me during the 90s, there's still hope. Because I'm a good God. I'm a generous God. The cross made us all equal in the eyes of God. The first will be the last, and the last will be the first. The cross tells me, Lord, there's always hope. Lord, I thank you. Because the spirit and the message of the cross is, Lord, I don't deserve grace. I don't deserve your mercy. And you've given it to me. I don't understand why. All I gave you was headache, heartache, and sin. But you chose to forgive me, love me, and transform me to Christ-likeness. The message of the cross. The message of the cross is, I'm here. Trust me. Don't enter into a religion with me. Religion is all contractual. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do this, I'll do that. But when we say, I'm better than I deserve, because of the gospel, what you're saying is, Lord, what you did at the cross, it's finished. I receive what you did for me on the cross. All of us in this room, we got better than we deserve. It's not an accident you're here today and you're listening to this message, because God is telling you, you got better than you deserve. You've got the grace of God, the love of God, the message of the cross, forgiveness, transformation that can only be found in Christ. Today, God is speaking to you. God is telling you, don't think business transaction when you come to me. Think relationship. Call me Abba, Father. Daddy, Papa. That's who I am. I want to speak to you. I want to minister to you. I want to change you. That's Christianity. That's the message of the cross. I'm truly loved by God, even though I'm fully known of my sin. God loves me and wants to enter into a relationship with me. Not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus did for me at the cross. Can we bow down our heads and pray? Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for your grace. Lord, I know this is such a simple story. Just to clear to Peter. Lord, that in your eyes, it's never been transactional. It's never been, I do this so that you can do this for me. So always been you giving of yourself. Dying on the cross for my sin. In spite of my rebellion and of my sin, you chose to enter into a relationship with me. So Lord, I pray today that there will be a shift in our mindset. Lord, that we would no longer live under contract. Lord, that we're not contractual workers entering into a business transaction with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Rather, Christianity is all about God coming down from heaven in the form of Jesus and saying, I've come here to seek and to save those who are lost. Lord, we thank you because by your grace, Lord, by your grace, there's forgiveness. In your grace, Lord, there's hope. In your grace, there's life.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more messages like these from other Victory Centers, please visit victory.org.ph/resources/podcasts.